This is the 18th season of Bass Talk Live. With your host, Matt Pangrat. BTL is brought to you by Lowrance, Bass Cat Boats, AFCO, Strike King Lures, Sunline, Big Bite Baits, Spro, X-Zone Lures, Gamakatsu, The Bass Tank, Denali Rods, and Pro Guide Batteries.
BTL, coming at ya!
Good morning and welcome to another exciting edition of BTL Bass Talk Live, where we are going to talk about bass fishing. It is Monday, June 27th, and yes, we are live. It is the last live week of BTL for a couple of weeks. Things are about to get kind of chaotic here in the world of BTL, headed to the Bassmaster Open on Oneida Lake, which is over the 4th of July weekend. So like the 3rd is Sunday, the 4th is Monday, and then the 5th is Tuesday, Wednesday. So we'll basically get a day and a half without, and if there's one thing I have learned over my time covering tournaments and then fishing tournaments up in New York, is if it is nice weather in the summer and you have a boat, you're on it. So it will be a little bit of a rodeo out there at Oneida, but looking forward to it, looking forward to taking the lessons that I learned last year in the open on Oneida and employing them this time around. And then from there, I stay at Oneida and head to the Kurt Dove Pro Bass Camp. He does two down at Lake Amistad. And then does one up in New York, so I will, well, let's be honest, I will recoup some gas money by sticking around and doing the Kurt Dove Pro Bass Camp afterwards. And then I'm in a bit of a pickle right now. I have to go from New York down to ICAST in the middle of July. So Oneida, and then down at ICAST. Not exactly sure where I'm going to keep the rig yet, and that is in Orlando. So if there's anybody with any brilliant ideas on where I could keep that rig for a couple days while I do the ICAST thing and then head home, hit me up, social media, whatever. So big show today. Kind of surprise out of nowhere, long time Elite Series pro, open winner, wild card winner, FLW championship qualifier, seven-time classic qualifier, Chad Morgenthaler announced his retirement basically effective immediately before they head up to the Northern Swing. So obviously probably a smart financial decision if you're just looking at it with what gas is. But we'll get Chad on. I know he's got a lot of other stuff going on, and it's not stuff that he's like, well, I just retired. What? This is stuff that's kind of been in the works for a number of years. I talk to Chad on a pretty regular basis, so we will get into that tomorrow. Ken Duke coming on the show talking about preparations for ICAST. You know, he runs that tackle retailer or fishing tackle retailer, FTR. So he will come on, talk about what's going on with ICAST. And then I just booked this morning, none other than the man, EE squared, Edwin Evers, coming on to talk. This is how crazy it is with Edwin. I said, hey, you know, you want to jump on? He's like, yeah, we're going to talk about how bad my season is. And I was like, I don't think he was having that bad of a season. He's 22nd in the points. That's a killer's mentality right there. So, yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about him building his pond. We'll talk about what his plans are. I wanted to get a guy to come on and kind of talk about how their plans for ICAST, a guy who's, you know, high in demand with a lot of sponsors. And a lot of stuff also going on in the fishing world. Three events that went on. I gotta get this at the Toyota Series on the Potomac. Harry Linson Bigler IV with a massive come-from-behind victory, 20 pounds, 14 ounces on the final day on the Potomac to win with 52-13. He was 7 pounds back, and that's a big-time comeback. Also, the Bass Nation Northeast Regional on the St. Lawrence. Timothy Dupe, 62-10. That's a four-fish limit, folks. That's 12 fish for 62-10, a little bit over 5 pounds of fish to win that. And the top 27 in that event averaged over 4 pounds. So when the Elite Series go there in a couple weeks, I'm calling it right now, 100 plus to win it in smallmouth. We're going to hit the first triple digit smallmouth, especially since they're taken out of Clayton and the lake is in play. We'll get in more into that next week. And then finally, the High School Bass Fishing Championship took place on Pickwick, and Fallon Klepper and Wyatt Ford, 39-09, nine fish in that one, three fish a day. Tons of boats on that one, and they get the job done. Over $160,000 in scholarship and prizes for them, so great job to them. All right, let's bring the man in right now from his home. You should be getting your drop shots and your little missile drop shot Ned worms and Ned bombs and all that ready, but you're hanging out at home now, Chad.
Yes, I am. It's definitely a change in venue and a change in my direction for the summer and for the rest of the season, for sure. I'm not real sure. I'm trying to figure out exactly what I'm supposed to do with myself at this point, because for so many years, you know, it's just been planned out. You come home for just a short period of time, you're already in the mindset and looking forward to the next event and prepping for it. So yeah, you're exactly right. It's a little bit different for me right now, but I'm not finding any issues with having things to do. I can tell you that.
What was the decision in now? I mean, you see in other sports, you've seen it both ways. You see some guys who say, hey, at the end of this year, I'm retiring. You see some that retire in the middle of the year. You see some that retire halfway through. But it kind of surprised. Like, I literally logged onto Bassmaster.com, and there you were in the cowboy hat with the picture. And I'm like, okay, I'll read it. And it's like, Chad's retiring? There's three events left in the year. So just kind of walk through a decision for something that you've done for the last two decades, full time and professionally, that right now was the time for you to hang it up professionally.
Well, there are many factors that went into this decision. As I explained in my letter that Bass so graciously published there, that it's been in the plans for quite some time. And actually, I almost pulled the trigger last year. But I have great relationship, great partners, great support. And everybody's position is completely different in this sport, you know, and it all depends on your goals, your achievements, and what you're wanting to do going forward. And of course your age, where you're at with all of that. I mean, that's so huge. I get it. And it's different for everybody. My position might not make sense to some, but it'll make perfect sense to others. And I'm not going to pull any punches here. You know, I'm really not crazy about where the economy is right now. And because of being in this industry so long and being involved with it, obviously, as I explained, you have to be a businessman in this. It comes to that point whenever you've been in it this long and you're at my age, I obviously have a lot of things to consider going forward. You know, how many more years do I have to establish something different, to make something else work, to get another business plan up and operational over a period of time where I can still be effective? And so that came into it. There were the rising fuel prices, you know, the increased cost, what did I have to benefit? You know, I wasn't in horrible shape in the points for AOY, but I wasn't in great shape in the points either. So outside chance of making the classic going on in, obviously you can't win the classic. Huge, that would have been a huge goal than it always has been to win a classic. You can't win if you're not there. So with that being said, there were other companies that I'm associated with that are affected by these times as well, Matt. And I'm not trying to make light of any situation. It's just different times that we're in, and there's different directions that companies that I'm associated with that are taking different direction. Jasper's one of them. You know, they've been my title sponsor for 16 years. Great company. I've learned a lot from them going forward. You know, at the end of the day, their position, their direction was changing, and it was changing because of the economy. It wasn't really anything that they were doing. They have a lot of orders. They're no different than a lot of other companies. They struggle to meet production demands and parts supply. So all of that became a factor. You know, at the end of the day, knowing this was going to be my final season, we've discussed a lot of options to go forward with our relationship and maintain, as I have with a lot of sponsors. And for Jasper Engines, It was just we had to come to an agreement amongst ourselves how we were going to proceed forward or not proceed forward. And then that affected my decisions in some instance. That made me step back as a business person, the president of Morgan Taylor Inc., and take a look at, all right, what's my investment? What's my return? Can I afford to do this? Is this something that I can take a chance on without the support that I've had over the years, or with a lesser support? And so, you know, as well as I do, I've had some other things in the work, this being my last season, taking in where I'm at in the points and everything else. It is what it is. So that's part of how I came to this conclusion that, you know what, I have a lot of things to lose if the turn would go bad for me, especially on these long swings with the increased costs. So, you know, I had to step back, take a look at all that. I had to get on the phone with a lot of people that supported me over the years, get their thoughts before this decision was made, and see where we lined up with all of it. And this is where I came out. I just felt that it was better for me, my family, and my business that I go ahead and implement my new chapter a little bit earlier than planned, but it's only a few months earlier than planned, mm-hmm. and it's 3 events earlier than planned. So that in a nutshell, that's where we come down. And I just felt that it was best to retire immediately so that I could focus my attention and direction on my new venture with my new partners. And here we are. The competitive part of me is dying. Not dying as in dead, going away. Yeah. I'm
still. I mean, you got fourth last time you're up at that. You almost won the dang thing when you were up there last time.
Yeah, trust me, that's pulling at me hard, and it still is. You know, I mean, anytime that you feel like, I mean, I've definitely evolved with my electronics, live scope, offshore structure fishing. We all know that that's probably what that's going to be. You said it, the lakes in play. That's where I actually did real well at. I got a few things that I figured out that worked to my advantage. I know that the competition's stiff no matter what, because the guys are getting better on the lake. I mean, you got Ito, the Johnson brothers, and that's just to mention a few of the guys that I would be competing against up there. You know, but at the end of the day, I still, it's hard. It was a hard, hard decision. Never been to Oahe, been to Wisconsin a couple of times. Wanted to go to Wisconsin just because of how it fishes, but at the same time, Oahe, I didn't really know what I was in for there. So
just watch a documentary on the moon landing and it'll be just like you're there. you'll feel just like you're there.
At the end of the day, like I said, a lot of decisions went into this, or a lot of factors went into this decision, and a lot of them were financial, and a lot of them were just looking forward. There was time constraints on what I'm wanting to do going forward, and to meet those for 2023, I had to get busy, and it's going to need my full attention.
We'll get into that in the next segment, but I want to go back and focus on something. And I, you know, while you've been talking about this, I've been racking my brain. 16 years with a non-endemic title, right? I'm trying to think of anybody else in the industry who's managed to maintain a non-endemic title for 16 years. Can you think of anyone else who's done that?
I was trying to think. I was with Jasper before the Toyota teams come around. You know, Swindle's been with Toyota for a long time, but I don't think it's been 16 years, but I'm not sure that it hasn't been.
What year would that have been then that you got your first year with Jasper?
2005. Yep.
I can't think of anybody who's had, I mean, maybe KVD with, but not a title. Dude, that might be the longest running, and those are the unicorns, man. Those are the hardest in the industry to get, the hardest in the industry to keep, what everybody's searching for. So that's in itself is a heck of an accomplishment, dude. I don't think I realized that was 16 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time. And I tell you what, they've been a fantastic company to work with. I can't say enough about the people there. They are now family, and the people that support me. I mean, I think they've got around, give or take, a few 5,000 employees, something like that total, with all the other companies that they own and have absorbed and increased over the years. And, you know, it's, but just like everything else, we've had challenges along the way. They've had directional changes that they've needed to make. As I've been associated with them, and we've had to adjust, you know, before everybody thinks it's all about exposure and just creating business for retail. That is not necessarily always the case. So we've had to adjust on the fly a little bit. They've allowed me to be able to be creative. They trusted me with everything that they've got. I mean, I booked hospitality trips, take care of $1,000 bills on my own, and they reimbursed me without even question. And that was part of that longstanding relationship. I did my best to never give them any reason to doubt my sincerity or my appreciation for their involvement in this sport. And that alone took it a long ways. But I also had the background, you know, I was a master technician for years right out of school. So that's how I got a hold of them. You know, my specialty was actually transmission. So that's where I've developed my mechanical abilities along the way, you know, from rigging my own electronics on my Phoenix to, you know, you name it. And so it was a good fit for us. And they came out of NASCAR the year that they picked me up. And so they were savvy with marketing, and they had experiences on all this ROI and, you know, emblems in view and all this that they actually taught me and put programs in place so that media programs so that I could max out, you know, incentives and all of this. So, you know, we picked up on it very well. And I say me and Debbie, and we worked at it hard. We worked at the marketing aspect. And if it hadn't been for companies, there's a lot of companies that I have to thank and appreciate, you know, but at the same time, if it hadn't been for Jasper really setting the bar on this and teaching me early on, I don't know that I could have made it 19 years, because there's been ups and downs. There's been good days. There's been good years and bad years. And, you know, that relationship and those type of people that train you and stand behind you and trust you, they allow you to be able to extend that time frame.
Yeah, I remember you were very influential in my, I don't think we've ever talked about this publicly, but you're very influential. We've talked about it off air in my kind of growth development and in what I did with the Bass Zone and covering the sport. The BTL, or not BTL, it was Bass Zone at the time, also mm-hmm. had a relationship with Jasper, and one of the things was covering the FLW tour at the time.
Yep.
And I mean, I remembered it was my first year. Mark had just kind of tossed me on the road, and we did tournament previews, tournament recaps, every single deal that went out on BassZone.com. It was like the only video information on the upcoming tournaments. I remember you always were camped, this would have been 2008, 2009, next to Glenn Brown. And that's how I got to know Glenn Brown out of Florida. You know, everyone kind of remembers Glenn's fight with cancer, and one of the uh-huh. nicest, most genuine guys that I ever got to know. But that was kind of through you. And man, you had to put up with me at 23. 24 going to these events, trying to do recaps. Like Jeffries gave me like no direction. I remember us like setting up the cameras and doing it at meetings and at the campgrounds and all over the place. So thank you for that. I can't believe that was that long ago.
Oh yeah, I know. Time sure says fly, and it seems like a blink of an eye. It's been 19 years, Matt, and it was my pleasure being able to work with you. And you know, we all learned a lot of things together. And as all of this has evolved from, you know, Bass Zone, BTO, social media directions, that's exactly what I'm referring to. An angler that can think on his feet and is not just focused on only tournament winnings and tournaments. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's a fine line to walk there, as you know, because to be a killer in the sport, you know, if you're one of those guys that are just naturally talented and you have that killer instinct, that all that stuff then will take care of itself. But those are very few positions that will develop over an angler's career in very few time frames. But the, you know, for like me, an angler like me, I had to work really super hard. I mean, I rode that struggle bus every day, it seemed like, you know, and I guess it can be contributed to a lot of things. I mean, whenever I stepped into this sport, I literally was so one-sided. I mean, I was a shallow water angler, period. So
out of Illinois, nonetheless.
get out of Illinois, which we didn't have but about 10 fish, and everybody caught those same 10 over the weekend. So, you know, I fished heavily pressured water, small bodies of water, and then all of this opened up on the Elite Series. At that time, it was top 150s. That's how long ago it's been. But, yeah, it's been an unbelievable ride that I would not trade for anything. Whenever I talked about the friendships that I've made, the lifelong friends I've made, such as yourself, Swindles, it goes to Glenn, it goes on and on and on. All the people at Jasper, all the people at Phoenix. I just can't say enough about that experience. And I hope that everybody that looks at trying to make a run gets to experience some of that. Because it is definitely worth it. You know, there's a lot of risks involved. Obviously, you know, you take a big chance. Heck, I took a big chance back in 2002 whenever I left the fire department. You know, it was one of those things where it was like, what am I doing here? But you know what? I wouldn't trade it for anything. And now it just opens more doors. Whenever you step back, you can actually see the forest for the trees now. And it's interesting to see. It's exciting for me because I know the kind of the direction I want to go, but at the same time, I'm still looking at a lot of different options. Yeah.
I want to point out a couple of things that people who listen and may not realize that I find incredibly impressive about you is you were able to navigate your way basically bass to FLW, back to bass, back to FLW, back to bass in requalifying for Elite Series and maintaining sponsors and fishing at a number of different circuits. And over the course of that, we always talk about, you know, the $1 million club. Dude, over $1.1 million when you combine the $750,000 in bass and almost $500,000 in FLW, which, I mean, that's nothing to scoff at right there. That is longevity over multiple organizations over that time. And then to hit the $1 million mark, obviously there's a massive difference between earnings, you know, earnings and like profit, which is the issue in it. But still, just to say that you cashed over $1 million of checks fishing tournaments puts you in pretty exclusive company.
Well, thanks. I didn't really even think about it that way, to be quite honest with you. You know, you just put your head down and you go to work every day and try to make adjustments and learn. And I'm very fortunate. You know, I've had, as all of us as anglers, and the emotions and the changes that happen at a split second, you know, that I've had some of those luck deals where I've landed that kicker fish at the last second, or I've, you know, caught the fish to put me in the top 10 that helps that. That's been numerous times over the years. And it's hard to explain to somebody that doesn't experience that, but I can tell you, I feel like one, I know I've become a better angler. I know I have. And I'm probably at the best point in my life to understanding the large majority of all of the different aspects of this industry right now. But at the same time, I also know that Lady Luck has played a giant part of all of that, you know. And but yeah, it's been fun. It's kind of one of those things where you have to as an angler, I had to realize, okay, probably not going to be a KVD or an Edwin Evers or a Jason Christie or that. But to everybody out there, that's a cool thing about this sport. It doesn't matter what size you are. You don't have to be 6'4", 325 to play this sport. You don't have to be 7 foot tall to play this sport. You don't, you know, it knows no boundaries as far as that goes. You just have to be smart about your approach depending on how long term you want and what the goals you want to achieve. And that's the type of angler that I was. I mean, I wasn't the, you know, I luckily kind of developed a niche over the years, and that was a lot due in part to all of my friends in Florida, you know, Glenn Brown, Terry Scroggins, a lot of those guys. I mean, I love to fish in Florida, and most people that have seen my career know that. I mean, I think it was because of my background in Illinois and fishing shallow, you know, just kind of, I was real comfortable with that pretty quickly on. And then, you know, I developed strategies and learned everything thanks to some of those guys and a lot of help, and it's networking along the way. And luckily, I'm very fortunate that I can say I have a lot of friends and networking all over the nation. And that has definitely contributed to it. And to those people that's helped me along the way, I certainly owe a huge thank you.
I remember having a conversation with you one time. You spent a lot of time in the winters down in Florida and got really good with the mat punch and identifying the best type of hydrilla. Remember you went through a period of like losing fish when you're punching mats. And I talked to you one time and you were like, I got it. I figured it out. You'd spent weeks out there and you had downsized your flipping hook. This was you, wasn't it? And you had been flipping like a big one, like a big giant fish, like you want meat hook. And you had gone down to like a 3-0 and had said, dude, I figured it out. The hook to land ratio is through the roof. It's just little things like that, you know, you figure out then and it plays for years and years to come because of the hard work that you put in. I just thought because when I'm down in Florida now, I'm like, yeah, I'll take the 3-0 when I'm flipping over a bigger hook. You had the whole theory as to it getting caught in the hole. And you still flip with that little bitty hook in Florida?
Most of the time. It was interesting you said that. I do remember us talking about that. And that was it was a long time ago. It's actually whenever it was right before I won that tournament, the golden ticket on that open. Yeah. And got me the last place in the classic that I figured that out. It was because I ran out of my big hooks or I had a shortage of them. I ended up down in Florida without very many 4 and 5-0 hooks. And I'm like, what have you done? You idiot. You've been down here a million times, you know? And I'm like, I'm just going to practice with my 3-0. And the next thing I know, I just kind of step back and say, wait, you know, things are going so much better with this. I'm generating bites, and I ended up winning that tournament. And then obviously that just catapulted me into, okay, now we know. And yes, I do still flip about it. And I'm still at about that 80 to 85% bite catch ratio under mats. And, you know, I don't care who you are. That's pretty strong. I know it is, you know, just things. Yeah.
I want to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the next chapter and maybe how some people that live not too far from you might have influenced maybe some of this decisions. You've got a little like Ozark gang going on there with Mansu and Brian Snowden. But before I do want to ask one more question, you before we take the break, you did mention it. Rest of your sponsors receptive of it? I know you have a lot of longtime sponsors. We talked about Jasper a lot, but you said you had to make those tough calls. Everyone seemed pretty receptive to going on to the next chapter.
Yeah. They really did. You know, there are several of them that expressed interest in wanting to be involved in this next chapter. But at the same time, so much support from the people who I've worked with so many years. They completely understood. A lot of them are involved in companies that are going through some of the very same similar struggles because of the economy and things that I mentioned. So didn't know exactly how that was going to go, but at the end of the day, they helped me make that decision. They helped me make that transition, and they were overwhelming supportive. And so is all the fans that I've heard from over the last week. It's just been unreal. I think that most people understand that at my age, and you know, a lot of the people that I'm associated with in these companies are of my age. So that also makes a big difference. But it was super emotional, and it wasn't easy. No matter what, even though they were so supportive, it still was hard.
Yeah. All right. It is Monday, June 27th, and this is going to sound weird to say. It'll probably sound weird to hear it. We are talking with retired Elite Series pro Chad Morgenthaler, talking about the next chapter in his life. He's got some cool stuff coming up. So we'll get into that when we come back to BTL right after this.
Your key to better fishing this season is Elite FS, now available at a new lower price. Get Elite FS 9 today for $9.99, and we'll throw in a C-Map reveal chart, our premium mapping solution, for free. Elite FS works with all state-of-the-art Lowrance sonar, from chirp, side scan, and down scan imaging with fish reveal to high-resolution active target live sonar. Elite FS 9 and C-Map reveal. Offer ends August 31st.
The new Puma STS has been redesigned from the ground up. With the angler, design, function, and performance in mind, nothing on this new offering was compromised, and the only thing carried over from the previous version is the name. Based on the Soft Touch series hull that started with the flagship Jaguar, this new model is nimble and performs incredibly well at all speeds with either a 250 or 300 horsepower engine. Featuring a new 96-inch wide body footprint, this hull measures out at 20 foot 7 inches in length. Industry-leading design coupled with tournament-winning performance. The Puma STS from Basscat. Feel the rush.
We're just about ready to go, ladies and gentlemen. Get in order.
Once again, Drew Cook is in the driver's seat.
When you're catching fish for a living, you can't let a little cold, rain, heat, humidity, or anything else get in the way of a payday. I wear APCO. Any fish, any water.
The KVD 100 Jerkbait. 15 different colors. A perfect combination of roll, wiggle, and flash. Increased castability. 3D eyes. Premium black nickel hooks. KVD. Tie one on. Striking lures.
Are you looking to install your own fishing electronics? Well, the Bass Tank is here to help you. The solution is the Bass Tank Power Harness. It takes the guesswork out of installation. No more voltage issues or interference. Designed by an engineer so that you can get professional results right there in your own garage. Installation done right with the help of the Bass Tank Power Harness. You can feel confident knowing that your installation was done right. The Bass Tank Power Harness. Give us a call or order yours today at thebasstank.com.
Welcome back, BTL, on a Monday. Talking with Mr. Chad Morgan Thaler, and before we went to the break, I mentioned there's a little bit of the Table Rock Mafia going on there. I've been to your house a couple of times. You got a sweet setup there. You got the Mansus across the street. You got the Snowdens. You're kind of right down the road. You guys all kind of like what? You're all kind of the same age, right? Is Brian a little younger than you guys?
Brian's a little bit younger. Dave's a little bit older, but yeah, we're not.
I can't tell between you and Dave because you both act like you're 40 years old the whole time. And then I keep forgetting, like, no, seriously, because Mansu was a cop, right, for so many years. And he still, right, like, pumps iron every day and gets up and is. And then you're in incredible shape. And I'm thinking, like, you've done a physically demanding job now for 35 years.
Yeah.
And you still, like, do you feel that at all? Or are you, like, just a... I mean, it seems like you're just like in crazy good shape. Like, I still think of you as like a dude in his 40s.
Trust me. I do feel it, to answer your question. You know, there's just things that, because of the repetitive, you know, motions that we go through, and, you know, the long drives and the big boat rides and all that, I've really had to change my workout regimens, my diet, to keep a lot of that all at bay and to push through it, you know, shoulder issues, elbow issues, knees, back, it all goes with it. Those were some of the factors also that brought into my decision to retire just a little bit earlier. I feel good. And whenever I can keep a handle on that stuff and stay on it, I can maintain it really well. It's kind of like physical therapy, right? I mean, Dave comes over here usually 3 to 4 times a week, and we lift in my gym and do a lot of exercises. And it's just a kind of a lifestyle change. And we both watch our diet and those things. But yeah, it beats you up a little bit. You know, and the fire department beat me up a little bit. But at the end of the day, everybody has their issues. So I'll keep going as long as I can. But I feel good right now. And like I said, once I consistently address those issues with those things that I just mentioned, it makes life a lot easier for me, for sure.
So yeah, you got you, Mansu, and then Snowden's still down the street, right?
Yep. Brian's just right down the street.
Yeah. So like, I've done some video work for them folks, and if you go to them, it makes you feel like really bad about your home life, because Chad, as you can tell, we've already seen in the background someone, so you can tell your firefighter how clean and neat everything. Not a speck of dirt in your home, not a speck of dirt in Dave Mansu's home. And then Brian Snowden takes it to an entirely different level. You guys like all have it together. We saw what Brian did last year, step away from the Elite Series to work more with some things with Bass Pro Shops, instructional video, spend a lot of time. You guys are what, 10, 15 minutes or not even that right there from a launch ramp at Table Rock Lake, one of the best, most diverse fisheries, larger smallmouth, spotted bass, dirty. You can do whatever you want there. How much should kind of having that whole thing in your backyard, and how much feedback did you get from those guys when you were talking about your decision?
A lot. You know, we all guide too. We're all U.S. Coast Guard certified, so we can all guide just about anywhere we want and have for quite some time now, and basically shared our experiences and try to make other people's, and then obviously gain the knowledge of what all is out there that needs to be addressed, and you know, the different levels of anglers from A to Z. So they were, you know, with Brian's change in direction at the beginning of the year, and being able to sit down and talk with him about what to expect and some of those things, it's really helped. And of course, Dave is, he's just been super supportive. He has a tremendous amount of experiences. You know, Dave fished the top 150 as well. He come in, he went out, and he did this all the time while he was holding down a full-time job. So, you know, we have a lot of things in common to share there. So they're a great support group. They are very smart people and very talented anglers. And that's why it was kind of a no-brainer wherever we all started getting together. We all get together all the time here. I mean, we probably talk 10 times a week amongst the three of us. And, you know, so it was a pretty easy decision whenever we all got on board and started brainstorming about what direction we'd all like to hear, what our next chapters were going to be like. And, you know, it's funny, everybody kind of takes a different role. But as you mentioned, Brian, he's the most organized person I've ever met in my entire life. And he is detail oriented, where he keeps notes. I don't have to worry about being so forgetful, because Brian will have it recorded or remember or be able to recall that information in some way, shape, or form. And that's Brian. And then Dave, he's the one that keeps us all grounded. And Dave is the kind of guy where whenever you come up with something that needs to be done and you ask him to do it, he'll walk it from the very beginning to the very end, and he won't miss any details because of his past experiences and his past profession. He's very detail oriented as well, and he has the innate ability to be able to look beyond and look at ripple effects and things of that nature. And then my role is kind of helter skelter. I'm a little bit of a quick start and always have been, you know, but I also have the vision, and I have a pretty cool ability to be able to look at all different aspects and to be able to create ideas for that situation. But then I can rely on those guys to help me implement them and then walk them through, and then I can move on. So it's kind of a really cool relationship.
Mm-hmm. I know you talked about this a number of years. I've kind of gone filmed some social media stuff for you guys in the past, which I also think is brilliant. Hey, let's get all this done so we don't have to mess with this and plan it, and you guys all work together. So it's anyway, it's smart. But in this blog that you posted, you talked about the Future Cast Academy. And I know you'd been kind of bouncing this idea around like for a number of years. Like I think the last time I talked to you, you were even considering, hey, you know, this is what I am going to do moving forward. So it's not just like, oh, I retired, what am I doing? This is something that you have had in the works for a number of years. In your blog, you said it's a skill development, coaching, mentoring, and hands-on program designed for anglers of all ages. It's basically a class that you're starting right there on Table Rock.
So it's going to be implemented right here. Yes. Future Cast Academy is exactly that. And we want to, me and you talked about this ahead of the show just a little bit, Matt. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of things associated with this industry and with competitive fishing that has gone to the wayside. There's a lot of benefits that's come around because of social media, YouTube, and all the information that's out there. And all of that has to be processed, and it can be used to your advantage. But at the same time, what me, Dave, and Brian recognize from a couple of different things, one, from fishing at the level of the sport that we all have, and then also guiding, there's a giant gap in there. And so you have the group, say the younger group of anglers coming, aspiring anglers coming up, say 12 to 18. And we recognize that, okay, there's a skill set that needs to be developed, at least at the basic level, to establish that, to go forward. Because when you guide someone that's in, say, we've all done it. We've all guided people in their 50s, 60s, even later years than that. And they have a difficult time with being diverse. They can't throw a bait caster, or they don't really know the difference between the bottom and a bite. And that's fine. That is fine. But for aspiring anglers coming up, that's not acceptable, especially I can't imagine where things are going to go. So there's a lot of young anglers out there that need that skill set developed at a younger age so that they can work with it, practice it, but they need constant coaching along the way. And that's where the coaching and mentoring comes in. The coaching, this is the one sport that doesn't have a lot of long-term coaching. You take kids going into Little League, at middle school, and they have the ability to have access to coaches that will work with them all through the high school and collegiate, even the professionals at the highest level of the sport. They have pitching coaches and they have batting coaches and everything. And we have bits and pieces of that's available throughout this industry, but there's very little hands-on and there's very little opportunity for on the water training. And as you and I know, there's no substitute for that. There is only so much classroom that you can stand and so much that you can absorb. And then you have to apply it and you have to work through it. So our networks, Matt, as being competitive anglers, I can pick up the phone and call Scroggins or Swindle and say, look, what's going on with this? I'm having trouble with this. I can't get these fish to commit, or I'm having hookup ratios or bite catch ratios. What equipment are you using? What are you doing? What hook set are you using? It goes on and on and on and on. And if those anglers that are coming up the ranks are not exposed and then work through those problems, it's very difficult to get to the next level, whatever that may be. Now there's other anglers out there that they just want to catch more fish. They want to understand their electronics better. And me and Brian both have been with Garmin and the forward-facing live scope or forward-facing sonar for a long time since its inception. So we're pretty proficient with it. It's just cool the amount of requests that we get for people that just want to learn how about electronics. And, you know, not everybody comes out as an expert on it. So, you know, that's all being, considered, addressed, and put into our curriculum going forward and programs that are going to be available to where we can address that. You have a lot of parents that want to support their kids along the way that, you know, I've had 14-year-olds in my boat before that show the skill set already being developed, but their parents don't have the ability to take them to the next level. And they are wanting to aspire to fish for LSU or Dallas Baptist or Drury or whatever. And, I think that because of my time frame, my age, and the things that I've seen and all the different experiences I've had across the nation with the different species, the different waters, the different patterns, weather, you name it, all these that I've had over the years of the hundreds of tournaments that I've been in and places I've been in, snowed in the same way, Dave, we're going to develop programs that help people through that if they choose to utilize them. And, you know, it's kind of one of those deals where we all enjoy teaching anglers, especially the ones who are really serious about it. So, but again, that's just a few things in, and there's a whole nother aspect.
Is it like one-on-one, or is it like a week-long class, or is it like continued coaching, or is it all of the above?
It's all of the above is going to be available with it. And we're working on that very diligently right now. For the most part, an example would be we're going to offer multi-day classes where we have a little bit of classroom time and a little bit of hand, and then we're going to also put them on the water. So it's going to be about a 50-50 port, but also that angler is going to come in. We're going to vet them. We're going to see what their skill set is, what level they're at, place them in the groups so that they can either aspire or help aspiring anglers and learn all the way so that we can teach to their level. I feel like I can create a program that will bring an angler to the point where at only time on the water and experiencing all these different situations will help them become better. And there's a gigantic time frame in there, you know, that needs to be filled. So that's the direction that we're headed. We want to teach conservation, sportsmanship, which me and you touched upon earlier. we're going to offer classes for boat captains so that they know what to expect. I mean, I was one of three that developed the first high school program in existence in Pinckneyville, Illinois. And I've seen all these things. I'm not saying I'm the expert in fish care, but I've been through just about every situation. I know about oxygenators. I know how you need to run your live wells. And some of that information needs to be shared with all these people. So those are some of the services that we're going to offer, as well as guiding. If people just want to go out and catch fish, that's going to be available too.
And that's just on your website right now, or are you guys going to have a dedicated website eventually to it?
Actually, FutureCast Academy's website is hot right now. It just says coming soon. We're hoping to go live with it in the next 60 days. We've been working on it for about 4 months now. It's going to have
video players. Well, let me know. You can jump back on when it's live. Oh, I like that logo. That is Table Rock Lake going through bass. It looks like a largemouth, but it also has some elements. Got kind of a smallmouth tail, and it's like all three species in that bass right there.
So our hopes is to take this national map and to offer it in different areas of the nation, and we'll be able to change the lakes that we're on inside that logo.
That's smart. I like
that's
that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I've preached this before, and anybody that's on you, Brandon Polinick, all of them talk about it. There's no substitute to time on the water as far as learning. You've talked about it. But here's the big difference. You can spend as much time on the water as you want. If it is not productive time on the water, it's pointless. We all know guys who go and practice for months and they're on the water every day and they still suck, Chad.
Yep.
But there's a difference. And what I see with, Kurt Dove's done some of that stuff with his pro bass camp down there, and Bassmaster's done some camps, and Emma. But what you need in just 3 or 4 days, and I remember this because when I first got a boat, as going from the co-angler side to the boat, I'd get on the water and I'd be like, "Boy, I'm on the water all day, but man, I don't really know what to do. Like, it's different. You know, I can catch the heck out of them when someone puts me around them, but I don't." But as soon as I started knowing, and you know it when you're productive on the water, when you know why you're doing what you're doing, when you're learning, that's where the incremental improvements come as an angler in your confidence, where you can see it. It's not just being on the water, and you have to have someone. I mean, not everybody has a guy from the Assumption Bass Club who takes them under their wing and teaches them, or a boat captain or a father who takes them out. Those of us who are, once you learn how to be productive on the water, then the time on the water matters. And where I see what you guys are doing with this is, A, if you want to go catch fish, you can go catch fish. You have fun. You can do a father, son, a daughter, mother, or daughter, father, do all that. But if you have someone who wants to incrementally get better, and like I said, I mean, if they're going to be on the boat with you every single day, it's thousands and thousands of dollars. This stuff isn't cheap to do. It's not cheap to go out and fish for a day. But for 3 or 4 days or a couple different classes, if you can put people in a position to be productive during their time on the water, then it's worth that time, and you're making better anglers for the future because you're instilling habits early that they are then building and growing upon. Fair assessment?
Absolutely. Part of our thought process and that whole thing is exactly that. Everybody looks at things a little bit different, and the diversity between myself, Snowden, and Mansu, and there's actually another guy, Billy Elbert, is exactly that. But it teaches them and exposes anglers to different thought processes, but we'll have a core that we're teaching around. And you're exactly right. To be productive on the water, you have to be paying attention to certain things. And if those aren't shared with you and brought to light and then explained and shown hands-on how to actually do that, you and I talked about what you're getting ready to go into, okay? There is a completely different mindset and a completely different practice that needs to take place whenever you're on a small lake, which I consider Lake Oneida a small lake, on the 4th of July when it's going to be tremendously busy. You're not going to be out there trying to, in my opinion, at that point, trying to see how many fish you can catch, what baits are productive. You have to be looking for something else, and you have to be utilizing and maximizing that time that you have. So whenever you take those thought processes in all those different conditions, and then you go, oh, okay, well, I don't need to go out here and just go down the bank and find stretches that have fish on them, because that's more than likely going to change in 3 to 4 days, because it changes by the hour in a lot of situations. So what is it I need to be doing out here to stay productive on the water on the 4th of July weekend or on Memorial Day weekend? What can I be doing that's going to maximize my practice time because it's limited? And then I'm going to fish against time during the tournament. And all those things are taken in perspective, but that's some of the things that we want to teach. And, you know, touching on that same thing, it's all of these parents that have kids or father sons, they go out and they select equipment. They'll spend, it's a giant investment, right? No matter what you're looking at, they'll spend thousands and thousands of hours and dollars on equipment that may or may not be applicable to what they are going to do. So we're going to assist them in equipment selection, where to start, so that they don't waste time, money, you know, in the process.
So it's more of an investment than a crapshoot.
Yes. And you invest in your future by going to college, right? I mean, we all know that in college, yeah, there's a lot of courses that are taught that probably aren't going to be applicable to where you end up in your profession or professions throughout a lifetime. But at the same time, we're going to curb that so that you aren't spending all that time and money, in our opinion, on things that is just going to end up in a yard sale in 2 weeks, or that, you know, you can't throw a jig on a 6-10 medium light action rod and 10-pound test line and expect to have maximum results. It just isn't going to happen.
I like it, man. I think with the group, the four of you guys, I know, like I said, I know three of you really well. Dude, I think this is going to be cool to watch the progression of this, and maybe kind of the next step in the progression of learning the fishing stuff. Also just straight up guiding. Like if someone just wants to go throw a spoon for deep water spots or go fish over trees or run up the river and flip, like you're open, like now just straight up guiding as Chad Morgenthaler too, right?
Oh, absolutely. I did several guide trips on Gunnersville this year.
You still have one today? I was supposed to get you out of here like 5 minutes.
I do. Yeah, it's all good though. I got a guide trip today on Table Rock for a guy who's wanting to increase his knowledge about structure fishing. And it's a great time of year to do that. So we're going to do a lot of electronics. We're going to do a lot of different baits. And I got another one on Wednesday, the exact same thing.
Well, it sounds like a change, but it sounds like it's not like a, oh man, it's out. It sounds like a positive transition, Chad. A little bit unexpected for the majority of the fishing world that's following it, but it sounds like a really positive transition with a plan moving forward. And, you know, I was with Jeffrey sitting next to me for so many years. He's all about a plan. And he's all about financial security. So it sounds like you're in good shape, man.
I got to definitely be a little bit more creative now for revenue generation. But at the same time, I'm open-minded as far as when you're not – okay, so I understand why KVD – guys like KVD, Wheeler, Connell, Christie, Swindle, they aren't – they can't give all their tips and tricks up. They can't do it. They're still competitive. I'm still competitive – at a different level now. And so I'm willing to coach and mentor and bring those kids up, and there's no punches being held back here. So, you know, I think that the average person that isn't in the networking that I've been in doesn't realize how much more there is that goes with that. The little tips and tricks. I mean, you're well connected and you understand that, but you know, as well as I do, it's just like the hook thing that you just mentioned. You know, where I go with a smaller hook and a beam to create that bite catch ratio, increase it. So it's things of that nature that I have no reason not to pass along as much information that I have. And I'm still learning. I mean, I'm getting a lot better with those big swim baits right now. I've been working on them with the mag drafts, glide baits, all that. That is something I enjoy. I didn't have the time really to do it before to get really dialed in with, but I've already started modifying that stuff. I've had a lot of success. My bite catch ratios are getting better. So it's things like that that now I have time to do that's hopefully going to make me a better angler, because we can't ever stop learning, because things continuously change. It's our fisheries are changing and things react differently because of all the different things that we have at our fingertips now. And it's kind of cool to be able to stay on top of that now.
Heck yeah. One last tip and trick. You don't have any like red wasp stings to take it. I've been over here itching my hand. I got tagged yesterday by a red wasp on the top of my hand. And now it just looks like a balloon and it itches.
You don't have,
okay.
Gut it out and Benadryl cream. That will help.
Benadryl cream.
Yeah.
Okay. I will get some of that on the top. I just realized I've been itching the top of my hand for a good portion of the interview.
That is like you had fleas or something.
No, that's the first time I've been stung by a red wasp since I was a kid. And I was like, oh, that guy got me. And then I was like, that's not that bad. And then I had the little white spot there. And then an hour later, I was like, oh, I can't really close my hand.
I got it right in the back of the head one day by a red wasp and it took me to my knees. It hurt so bad.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, well, I'll let you get to the water. Like I said, I know that that you got a guide trip, but thank you for jumping on BTL. And for more information, Chad. morgantaylor.com.
Yeah, and or CC Morgan Taylor on social media, Instagram and Facebook. Send me a personal message, whatever. And then Futurecast Academy again, it's up, but it's coming soon.
Yeah, so it just says coming soon there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right. And I can't thank you for having me on and sharing my story and a little bit of my background, Matt. And as always, I've cherished our friendship for a long time, and I hope that we get a chance to work together, and I think we're going to more so in the future.
Heck yeah. Go out and enjoy the mild cool front that we have now out on Table Rock. Did it reach up that far? Because it's been like kind of low 80s the last couple of days here.
It's only supposed to be 82 here today. And trust me, whenever I tell you, I'm looking forward to it because them 100 degree days, even now, it gives you get hot.
All right, well, go out and graph them up, Chad.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
All right. See ya. That was Chad Morgan Taylor, recently retired from the Bassmaster Elite Series, but like I said, a lot of stuff on the plate, and I've been on the water with all three, with Brian Snowden, with Chad, and with Dave, and I think what they have and what they've been working on for the last couple years is really cool. Plus, I know you look at I'd say like hotbeds of fishing education. Did a documentary called The Gunnersville Effect on a lot of the anglers that have moved to Gunnersville in that TVA area, you know, like the Lee brothers and Hawk and Justin Lucas and Chris Lane, Duck, all these guys that were there. And then recently I've been talking about how they moved kind of down to Chickamauga with Jacob Wheeler and Hunter Shryock and Sonar, Miles Berghoff, Carl Jochumson. I mean, the list goes on and on. And there's also a portion of them out there in the Carolinas, the Thrifts and Brian News, Casey Ashley's, like that type of stuff. And it's just, I think, a diverse group of fisheries within a small area. You can even throw like Minnesota up in there now, like where Fighter is. I'm learning the more and more I see that with the river fisheries and the grass fisheries and the multi-species on how some of that stuff translates down south, specifically in Florida. And when it comes to kind of the non-grass area, I don't think there is a better teaching lake than Table Rock, and I've been on all of them, Bull Shoals and Stockton and Grand, but Table Rock is so unique because it gives you feedback. The number of fish in there, both largemouth, smallmouth, and spotted bass, the deep water, the clear water, you have rivers, you have different sections of it that fish differently, but typically, regardless of the time of the year, you can get incredible feedback on Table Rock, which is bites per trip, different techniques that you can get confidence in. And it's just a really, really productive, cool fishery that fishes big, that you can learn different ways to fish outside of grass fishing. It's horrible if you want to learn grass fishing because it's all rock. But if you were to pick a educational body of water in that entire Midwest with what Chad is talking about doing, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a different body water than Table Rock. All right, we're going to take our final break of the show, come back, talk about what is coming up in the next weeks. It is Monday on BTL. We'll be back after this.
Elite Series Pro Daryl Gleason here. My Pro Guide batteries keep me going on those long tournament days and long practice days. Always plenty of juice, never fail. The best part about Pro Guide batteries, it's the people behind the company. They have over 40 years experience in the battery business, keeping all of us fishermen out on the water longer, catching more fish. Check them out at ProGuideBatteries.com.
What's up, Bass Talk Live fans? Brandon Polinick here. And ever since I won a couple Bassmaster Elite Series events on X Zone Lures, I've been getting a bunch of questions of what makes them so special and different. And really, the truth is, it's in the details. The little details, things like no cheap fillers in their plastic. That gives you more lifelike action, more realistic and vibrant colors. But don't just take my word for it. Go to www.xzonelures.com and check them out for yourself.
Get the best patterns backed by tournament data. Start by finding the best 10% of your lake. Know exactly what to look for and what to throw. After that, just put them in the boat. Try the Deep Dive app today.
Look at that beast right there.
Vibrating jigs are a great choice for any time of year, and the Kamikaze Swim-On is a perfect match for any vibrating jig. Two sizes and the unique tail design gives it a bait fish profile and a great swimming action for realism. There are 17 colors. See them all at BigBiteBaits.com.
The Spro Little John crankbait has been around for almost 15 years, and it is one of my go-to crankbaits whenever I need a fish in the boat, so you can never have enough new colors. That's why Spro is coming out with a handful of new colors, including Pearl Shad, which has this bleached out white look, but it's got this pearlescent, really, really pretty. We've got Copper Shad, which looks amazing in the water. It's got that purple flake on the back, really, really pops in the water. And then if you want some real pop, we've got Sparkle Shad, nothing but sparkles all over this thing. And then last but not least, we've got the matte sexy shad, just a really different looking color for a crankbait. So you want to give them a little different look. That matte sexy shad is definitely the one to go with. All these colors are available in the original Little John and the MD.
Combining one of the most popular hook styles with Gamakatsu's beefier Superline offering, the Gamakatsu Superline Offset Round Bend delivers the strength necessary to target big fish in heavy cover. Well suited for braided line and heavier fluorocarbon, the Gamakatsu Superline Offset Round Bend is built using stronger Superline wire that allows anglers to easily fish a finesse worm around heavy cover. The Round Bend offers a larger bite area, perfect for any worm presentation, while increasing your hookup ratios. The newly enhanced Z-Bend holds your plastics on the hook longer, reducing the number of pull-offs and reducing damage to plastics. Available in 2-aught, 3-aught, 4-aught, and 5-aught, this is the most durable worm hook, designed for heavier lines that hold your bait on longer.
Preparation is key to success. And that preparation starts well before you ever hit the water. You're only as strong as your connection to the fish, and your line is that critical connection. Confidence in your line every minute of every day on the water is a necessity, and failure, it's not an option. Sunline makes the fluorocarbon, nylon, and braided lines to give you the strength to guarantee your confidence.
The new Android series is the peak of the Denali lineup and offers the ultimate Denali experience. The Android series features 36-ton multi-directional graphite combined with interlock blank technology for added strength. Each rod is outfitted with Royal Titanium guides that will not fail. The blank is fitted into an easy-touch, soft-feel EVA foam grip with exposed blank reel seat. This all allows the Android to transmit every movement of your bait and even the most subtle bites. The Android series is the finest rod Denali has ever made and offers an angler the ultimate fishing experience with a limited lifetime warranty. See the full lineup of Android rods at DenaliRods.com.
Wrapping things up here on a Monday on BTL. Jay, that guy you know. This is a thank you for the remedies for the red wasp. Red wasp sting. It's crazy how many like bugs and stuff you have on the water. I was actually firing up the griddle, like the flat top stove griddle, and this thing I'd had the house sprayed like a day before, and I guess he was in the throes of death and was rather unhappy with the situation. He just shot down from the gutter and tagged me right on the back of the hand. But it was the first time I've been stung by anything like that in probably 10 or 15 years. Like, I remember one time I was trying to catch wasps in a butterfly net as a kid, because that's just the type of stuff I did when I was a kid. I'm not sure why. I also caught snakes till one bit me, and then I was out on that the rest of my life. But Yeah, the whole back of the hand swelled up and then up the arm. Nothing like breathing or anything bad, just very uncomfortable, very painful. So I will try some of those remedies with antihistamines, with tobacco and saliva concoction. I'll give that a, I don't know, it might be past that effectiveness because I can't even really tell where the sting bite was. But tomorrow on the show, return of Ken Duke talking about ICAST coming up in less than a month now. Very busy man there down in Florida. And then on Wednesday, a guest, I always like we have him on. Not fun to fish against, but fun to interview when a tournament is not going on. And that is Edwin Evers. Edwin building a pond in his hometown, or in his yard, which would be in his hometown. And then also talking about his season on the BPT. Also want to dive into the MLF team series that is going to replace the made-for-TV cups. I think I just saw, like, I'm going to be totally honest, I don't follow the cups. I don't know what's going on. Every once in a while, I see a guy holding a trophy up, and he's like, hey, I can finally tell people I won this. I see Jacob Wheeler won a cup. Not sure what cup he won or where or when it was, but I think I will be more interested in following the team events that are the General Tire Team Series. We've had Joe Pogger on to talk about it in the past, but wanted to get Edwin's thoughts on the team series the rest of his year, and then getting ready for ICAST as one of the biggest players in the industry over the past 5-10 years. Edwin pretty much has every single trophy on his mantelpiece and everything he can win on his resume. So I'll be very interested to see how he prepares for ICAST, working with the companies, working on getting new sponsorships, and how that all develops. There will be some recorded shows coming up. And I will tell you this, Mark Jeffries will be featured as a feature guest on one of the upcoming shows. The reason is the man just went to Texas and New Mexico and somewhere else, and he was competing in, I guess, the top level that he can, the senior PBT tour. And he like would post these epic things that, okay, here's how it basically breaks down. So like I don't run the Instagram account. That's Bass Talk Live. Jeffries made it. It's like connected to him. He didn't make it as like a business account, so anything he posts on his Facebook goes to the Bass_Talk_Live account. I'm working on getting that like official so we can have like future guests and clips and things. I'm just a one-man show here. That has not been a priority for me. Will be, you know, maybe starting next year or something. But for now, you basically get a random Bass Talk Live post that's like Jeffries at a bowling alley talking about what he's learned. Well, he's like pointing out all these things that he's learned, and it's like exactly what I've gone through in the opens when he used to give me a lot of grief about, like, you know, failing and not learning and why are you spending your money doing. So I was like, dude, you're like coming, you seem to be like kind of turning a corner and coming around and realizing that there is like educational value in like not quote unquote succeeding. And I was like, would you come on and talk about your experience and how it relates to fishing? So absolutely, he's going to come on and talk about that then. Maybe a little bit of change of heart. And he has made a couple appearances in the past month. So that's on. Got some other stuff planned for the break that'll be exciting shows. So want to give a big shout out to Chad. He's probably on the way to the lake for a seminar there on Table Rock. But a good show, like I said, kind of a surprise in my opinion. Kind of a surprise that he did it with three events left, but seemed to have his head wrapped around it. And it seems to be like a smart decision. So as far as BTL on a Monday, cue the music. That's the wrong song that I typically don't come out to, but we'll roll with that anyway. This has been BTL on Monday, June 27th. Ken Duke tomorrow. We'll see you guys then.